Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. That music you just heard is from Tony Ocean. It's a song called You and I Belong. There have been 7 original CDs by Tony Ocean. The man who is Tony Ocean, his name is Mo Carrara, but he took on the persona of Tony Ocean 25 years ago, and to celebrate the 25th anniversary, there's going to be a gig this Saturday, May 20th, at the Club Arcata Speakeasy and Showcase, and that's in St. Charles. You can check out TonyOceanMusic.com for more information. This guy has had a heck of a career fronting rock bands. He's also fronts the Dream Police, which is a great Cheap Trick cover band, and he did a Dean Martin impersonation that led him to be in a show called The Pack Is Back, which was performed at Piper's Alley. And I believe that's the last time we had Tony on the show to talk about that. And we want to welcome him back to talk about this Saturday's big event and to talk about more. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on so much, my friend.
I appreciate it, man. Good to talk to you. And 25 years, huh?
25 years, yeah. Who knew? It's amazing. It's surprising that we're, you know, 4 nights a week, and we've been doing it this long and still going strong. Almost a year is booked up already for us. So I'm just humbled and proud to be doing it, man. It's just a lot of fun.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations. Now you've been doing rock bands and shows like that, you know, for years. You play a lot of the classic venues here around Chicago.
Sure, we do them all. We do a lot of the casinos, a lot of the regular venues. We had our last record release party at the Fitzgeralds in Berwyn. And then a couple, because I have 7 CDs out, then we did our Park West CD, which for the Jerry Lewis telethon. So, yeah, I'm fortunate to play a bunch of the nice places, you know, in the Chicagoland area. Hey, before anything, I want to congratulate you, WGN Walk of Fame, I hear. Is that in order? Is that did I got that right?
Yeah, you got that right. I'll be inducted next week.
Congratulations on that,
thank
man.
Thank you, man.
That's very cool.
I appreciate that. It means a lot. It really does. So thank you. So tell me about how Tony Ocean started. What was the birth of Tony Ocean?
Well, I was doing the rock and roll stuff with all these different bands, and I always wanted to do the Sinatra stuff, because that's the Dean Martin stuff. We were listening to that at home with my family.
Yeah.
I always thought those guys were really cool, but I could never do it with the guys I was with because, you know, at that time in the 80s and stuff, you know, that's old music, that's old people's music, you know, wedding stuff, that's not cool, because we were pushing this original, you know, rock and roll thing. So I took a chance of doing it and started doing it on my own, and lo and behold, started doing it from there. So it was just playing the nightclubs and still working a day job at the time.
Yeah.
And we tried to come up with different names. I tried to use Tony Carrara, but that didn't work. And then I tried to use Tony Rome, but that didn't work. And then we tried Tony Ocean, and because named after Frank Sinatra from the original movie Ocean's 11.
Right.
But he played the part Danny Ocean.
Right.
And I thought Tony would sound better, so that's the way it's been.
There it is. Now, you appeared on Star Search. Tell me what that was like, Tony.
That was really cool. We were with a band called Big Bang Rodeo, and we were at South by Southwest. And actually, Steve Dahl and Gene Simmons from Kiss had something to do that. They seen us. They liked our promo stuff. And we went on Star Search in Florida, and we lost by 0.25 point. But it was a great experience, actually. We got to stay there a couple days afterwards.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
That's a weird combination, Steve Dahl and Gene Simmons.
Yeah, Steve Dahl was, I guess, Steve Dahl was the one who, Anthony Melchiotti was the founder of that band, and he sent a package, a promo kit to Steve Dahl, and got us to South by Southwest, where we were showcasing at South by Southwest. Gene Simmons happened to be there, and then he's the one who goes, boy, you guys should try calling my buddy from Star Search, and one thing led to another, and that's what happened from there.
So now, Tony, you grew up in Cicero, correct?
I was born in Cicero, but I left Cicero right before eighth grade, and then we moved to Elmwood Park.
Ah, of course.
Yes, of course. Right? Where else are the Italians going to go?
Exactly.
It's funny because my real name is Maurizio Carrara, but nobody could pronounce it, so everybody started calling me Mo because I was a huge Three Stooges fan.
So you, you ever get back to Elmwood Park?
Yeah, my mom's still in Elmwood Park, and
oh, good.
I go visit her once or twice a week. You know, try to because she's by herself, so I take her stuff shopping and stuff like
sure,
that. So,
sure,
you know,
sure.
I don't hang much in the area, but just to see my mom and then go back. You know, something like that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love Elmwood Park. I for a while I lived a stone's throw from Elmwood Park, of course, because my last name is DiGilio, and I think legally at some point in your life. You have to live near Elmwood Park.
You have to live in Elmwood Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
So so the Tony Ocean character is great, and your Dean Martin impersonation, you did a Dean Martin impersonation. Tell me that story, how that started.
Oh, well, I was doing it in my show, and at the time I was working with some guy named Ron. I mean, at the time when I first started it, Nick Fortuna. Now,
yeah.
I remember Fortuna, but his brother is... this was Frank Fortuna. His brother was Nick Fortuna in the Buckinghams. It still is.
Right.
They were at a producer about putting a little Rat Pack show together at a little place called the Jazz Buffet Theater on Division. It was a small little room, held maybe about 90 people. So the show ran for about 6 weeks, and it was successful. Then they decided to move it to a bigger venue. They bought in the different producers, Ron Onesti from Onesti Entertainment.
Yep.
Of course, he runs and owns the Arcata Theater.
Yep.
And he began the producer of that show, and they changed some of the members around. But that show ran at Piper's Alley for a few years, and I got the part doing Dean Martin. On that, we were right next to Tony and Tina's wedding.
Yeah.
So it was a very cool experience. And after that, we traveled all over the world with the Chicago Rat Pack and still do shows to this day.
Yeah. I saw the pack is back in the day at Piper's Alley, and I thought it was great. And that was the last time we had you on. That was so many years ago, Tony.
Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That, what do you think it is about the Rat Pack that is so timeless and so great? I mean, you can explain why you love it so much, but what do you think is the appeal of the Rat Pack?
To be honest with you, the camaraderie that all three of the guys had. I mean, there was Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Peter Lawford, and Joey Bishop were the original five guys.
Right.
And first of all, the camaraderie they had, they were so cool back then. You know, the outfits, the suits. Look, the men wanted to be with them. The women wanted to sleep with them. It was just, these guys were so cool cats at the time. And it's endless, this music. I mean, it's just, people still like it. And then for a while, it took a little bit of a dive, but then when Tony Bennett made a big move back and he started doing that music again, and then I remember his son told him to get rid of the tuxedo, put a suit on, MTV put him on, he was opening for Metallica and Iron Maiden, this is Tony Bennett.
Right.
And that brought back that whole thing with Las Vegas, and it's just the appeal of all three of them and the camaraderie that they had. I think that's very important.
Yeah, and they were so, obviously enormously talented and could sing a song like nobody's business.
Absolutely, and, for us, Dean Martin was a very good actor. I thought Sinatra was too. And, they were just fantastic for what they did at the time, and, it was perfect.
Yeah, and Dean Martin, obviously, I just want to mention I adore him in Rio Bravo.
I thought he's great in that movie.
Oh
yes,
my God,
and he was just with him and John Wayne. Just perfect. And I got to meet Dean and briefly towards the end of his career. And I did a tour with his daughter when she signed her book when she wrote her book about her father.
Yeah,
Just a great guy. You know, all the contracts he had was with a handshake.
Yeah,
Dean Martin. No, you didn't want no contract. Everything was with a handshake.
That was old school, man.
Very old school.
That's
man.
Old school. And he obviously his partnership with Jerry Lewis was big in my childhood because Jerry Lewis is one of my heroes. And
love Jerry Lewis.
You got to meet him and work with him, right?
Yeah, I got to meet him and work with him. It was kind of funny. I was involved with the Jilly's organization at the Jilly's downtown on Rush Street.
Oh yeah.
Of course, Jilly Rizzo was Frank Sinatra's bodyguard and very best friend. And Jilly started in New York, and then they opened one on Rush Street in Chicago. But Nick Caruso Sr., one of the owners, was big friends with Jerry Lewis and Sinatra and all those guys. So when I did my debut in Las Vegas at the Riviera in 2000, after I did my show, Jerry Lewis was playing at the MGM. And they said, go over and meet Jerry. So we got to meet him. And I went up to him. I go, I love your new movie, Hardly Working. And he goes, oh. I say, so you're the one who bought that one. Yeah, I guess, you know, he made that thing because I guess nobody's seen the movie. But yeah. I thought it was a hero that he was. And a very nice man. And then we got to do the Life Park West CD, which I recorded, which was my fifth CD, which we raised over $50,000 for Jay Lewis's telethon.
Oh, that's great. That's really great. Yeah. And one of the things that Dean Martin doesn't get appreciated for is just how great he was with Jerry Lewis. Like, he was the greatest straight man ever. And if you were to ask Jerry Lewis today who was the better of the two in their partnership, he would always say Dean.
He always would say Dean. In an interview that I read and his book he read, yeah. I mean, he just, you know, it's when they had that big falling out, and yeah. Even, you know, I know they didn't talk for all those years. I guess when Dean Martin's son died, Jerry wasn't going to go to the funeral or the wake. But I guess at the wake, supposedly, he was somewhere from a distance at a tree or something like that standing, and he didn't want anybody to see him. I guess some of Dean Martin's people said, you know, Jerry did show up, and later on that evening they did talk. And then, of course, the big reunion before that when you know, Frank Sinatra got them back together.
Right.
And it was on that telethon, and that was just a great time.
Yeah, and I've watched that footage over and over and over again.
I cry every time I see it. I mean, it's just it's that emotional, and you can tell it wasn't planned at all.
Yeah.
You know,
it was great, and of course, anybody can pull that off. It's Sinatra, you know.
Absolutely, whatever he says works.
Yeah, exactly. And I also love Jerry's line after they embrace and see each other for the first time, and you can tell that they're both really emotional. And then there's a beat, and of course, in the incredible timing of Jerry Lewis, he goes, "So you working?"
Yeah, so you're working, and then, you know, after that, when he goes, you know, well, you didn't call me anymore, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, here we go again. Yeah. You know, he walked away when Dean started singing with Frank, so it was great. Yeah.
That's great stuff. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, it's the 1976 telethon, and it was 20 years that they hadn't spoken, and Frank Sinatra put them together. And you could see it on YouTube. It's definitely worth seeing. Well, listen, Tony, hang on, okay, man?
Sure, no problem.
I want to talk about the 25th anniversary celebration this Saturday at Club Arcata. It's Speakeasy and Showcase, and that's a great place in St. Charles. And I also want to talk about the show that you're working on next. That's a tribute to the Celebrity Roasts. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
We'll do it.
Hang on a second. All right. All right. Tony Ocean is with us. A great performer who's been around forever. He did the rock and roll stuff. He's been doing the classic stuff as well. He keeps the old school stuff alive. And Tony Ocean will be performing his 25th anniversary show on Saturday, May 20th. And we'll give you all the details on that and tell you all about it right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. A little bit stronger. So come on out tonight. The stars are shining bright. And the moon is on the rise. And love is in your eyes. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower here till 5 o'clock. Right now, we want to welcome back to the show Tony Ocean, a great entertainer who's been entertaining around the world for years. It's approaching the 25th anniversary of the character of Tony Ocean, and that celebration is going to happen this Saturday, May 20th, at Club Arcata, Speakeasy and Showcase. That's in St. Charles. You can check out TonyOceanMusic.com for more information, and we welcome Tony back to the show. Welcome back, Tony.
Hey, and great to be back here, Nick.
Thanks,
you for having me on.
I appreciate it. Tell us about the original CDs that you've done.
The CDs that we've done, we had 7 of them, and we started doing some original stuff. The first 3 were basically old standards. My first one was Sleep Warm Baby. My second one was Ocean's 11. My third one was No Brown Shoes After 4 o'clock. And then the 5th one, of course, was the Park West CD, which we released Come Out Tonight, one of the original songs that was also written with Stan Wozniak, the other part owner of Gillies on Rush. And then we did a Christmas CD, then we did Part of My Past, and then the last one we put out was called Me and Mrs. Jones, which a bunch of original songs were on that. You and I Belong is one of the songs that you played in the start of the show. So It's great. We're working on a brand new one now with Tony LaBarbera, my new manager, which actually Tony used to manage my old band years ago, Broken Heart. And now we're working on a new one, putting together. I guess you and Tony go back a few years with Portage Park.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so, going back to the show on Saturday, what do you got planned to do for the show on Saturday? What are you looking
for? What I'm doing is the first two CDs we put out was produced by Ron Onesti, and Ron Onesti was a big part of my career, getting me going, and still does to this day. So the first set, we're going to do stuff off those two CDs, which is the old standard Sinatra, Rat Pack stuff. And then the second set, we're going to break into the Motown and the 50s and 60s and 70s. But a whole bunch of different celebrities, Chicago celebrities, entertainers are going to be showing up to show respect and come up and share the stage with me. Other guys in the lounge business like myself, Nick Ponderelli, Denise Tomasello, the Jersey Girls. So it's going to be very interesting, a lot of fun, and got exciting stuff happening for the whole night. So we're excited about it. And it's sold out, which is great, too.
Oh, that's great. Good for you, man. Good
Thank
for you.
Thank you very much.
And let me ask you this. I want to talk about the celebrity roast thing that you're doing. But I want to talk a little bit about the Dream Police. This is the Cheap Trick cover band, and Cheap Trick is one of my favorite bands of all time. And, you know, if you see them now, they're just as good as they were if you saw them in 1977. And that's one of the things that's amazing about that band. Tell me about the Dream Police. How long have you been doing that?
Well, we started back that in 89. At the time, we were probably one of the first cover acts that came out, and we just loved me and Tommy Burke, our drummer, was, and still, my two favorite bands are Cheap Trick and the Raspberries. Mm-hmm. So, and we just loved doing them. We didn't look like the guys at all. So
yeah.
We did that for a couple years, and then I broke off from them, and we separated, and I got another Dream Police with Joey DeMarco from United Talent, his brothers, and they looked a little bit more like them. That's why we changed the name to Moe's Dream Police, because we didn't look like them. They all look like the guys from Cheap Trick, except I didn't look nothing like Robin Zander.
Right.
We got to play Rockford. We got the opportunity a couple times to have Bunny and Rick join us up on stage.
Oh, cool.
With us. John Brandt came up and played. He actually produced a couple of my records with my other band, 1313. Even Rick Nielsen even thanked me in his book that he put out.
Yeah.
And so we don't dress like them, but we do their songs, not only the hits, but the B-sides and the movie cuts. And they're just one of my I just love them. And you're absolutely right. They do sound just as good as they did. And they're probably one of the hardest working bands out there. So I got the band back together again when Cheap Trick was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few years back.
Yeah.
And I got the original guys back. And now we're doing our show, a bunch of shows this summer. The next one we got coming up is June 2nd, Friday, at Fitz's Spare Keys in Elmhurst. And we already got to open for Greg Kinn, the guys from Chicago. We already opened up with a bunch of different bands already, Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, I just love playing that rock and roll stuff, especially Cheap Trick.
Yeah, I mean, they're amazing. And for people who were too young to remember the summer of 1979, there was nothing bigger than Live at Budokan. I mean, that album was unbelievably popular.
It was just huge. And then you know, and the first album didn't do as well, which I thought it was a great record.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, of course, it did that, and In Color.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it just took off from there. Then, you know, with Surrender, with Heaven Tonight, and then Dream Police. And, you know, and I don't even know what really happened with their fallout, because they should have been a lot bigger than they actually were.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they made that big comeback when they bought Tom Petersen back, and they got some outside writers, and they put out the Lap of Luxury, and then they released The Flame, which was huge,
yeah.
Which I guess the Cheap Trick doesn't even like playing the
song.
So this is what I hear.
Yeah, no, they don't. Yeah, that's true. I actually saw them in concert, because I've seen Cheap Trick in double digits amounts, and they actually, one night, they did play The Flame, and like... and Robin Zander said, look, we got a ton of requests for this. We normally don't play this, but we're going to do it. And they played it. And it's the first time I ever saw them play that song live.
I was fortunate to see him with all three members. I got to see him with Tom Peterson. I got to see him at Chicago Fest with Pete Comita.
Yeah.
And then I got to see him a couple times with John Brandt.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. And I thought all their records was good. Even after Tom Peterson, I thought One on One and Next Position, Please.
Yeah.
Standing on the Edge. I even thought The Doctor was a great record. I just love Cheap Trick.
Yeah, they're great. And so June 2nd, people can see you guys doing the. Okay, so tell me about Dino's tribute to the Celebrity Roast. One of my favorite things when I was growing up in the 70s was watching those Dean Martin Celebrity Roasts. Fantastic. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with that.
Well, we're doing it at a place called the White Eagle Banquet Hall on Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. Tony LaBarba will be producing it with his wife Jackie, who works for Second City. She'll be writing some of the script. We're going to be using a bunch of celebrity lookalikes. Me, of course, playing Dean, and then we're also going to be using some other comics. And basically, we're going to start out roasting some of the celebrities in the Chicagoland area, and then we'll be putting out for sales or group sales. We're going to take a little bit of the old school and write some new stuff and try to bring back some of that memory and some of the joy that they had, because it was so much fun watching those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And that show was one of my favorites, too, man. I loved it.
Yeah. So Dino's tribute to Celebrity Roast. Listen, Tony, when that comes close, when you guys are going to open it, come back on, okay?
I would love to. It's probably open in the fall in September. Yeah, absolutely.
Please,
I would love to do that.
Yeah, please come back. And congratulations on your 25th anniversary, man. And have a great show. This Saturday, May 20th, Club Arcata Speakeasy and Showcase in St. Charles. And you can check out TonyOceanMusic.com. Tony, thanks again, man. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great one.
All right, you too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There you go. Tony Ocean, everybody. Yeah. Check out TonyOceanMusic.com. Great guy, all around hardworking entertainer. Just very cool dude. All right, well, we're going to take a break here on 720 WGN.